Good morning, everybody. Boy, I'm loud this morning, aren't I? I don't need a microphone. How's everybody doing? You're looking good. Has anybody told you that? Well, they should. Great worship. Great worship. Good songs, Jerry. Jerry picked out the songs. Great songs. But they usually are, aren't they? Good worship. Get us stirred up. God likes surprising his people, doesn't he? I know he surprised me about 2 o'clock this morning when he changed my sermon. So I have no notes today, and that's all right. We'll do what we do, right? We'll do what we can. It's his show. It's not a show. It's his service. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, that you do stir things up in our lives. And you do make changes, Lord. And you do like to surprise us, Lord. But we know that with you here, Lord, that it's going to be fine. It's going to be what you want. Just open your word for us. Open heaven for us, Lord. May we feel your spirit. May we receive your word. And Lord, may you have your way in our lives and in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture today is in Matthew 14. This is probably a familiar story to most of you, maybe all of you. It's recorded in Matthew, and it's also recorded in Mark, and it's also recorded in John. But Matthew has something added to it, which I like. We're going to start in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." What does Jesus have to do in your lives before you make that proclamation? Jesus had sent the disciples across to the other side while he went up to pray. Do you think that he knew the storm was coming? Do you think that he knew everything that was going to happen? Of course he did. But he sent them across anyway. You know, when the Lord has us doing something and things start happening, we have to remember it's him that told us to get into the boat. It's him that told us to go across to the other side. And if we follow him, nothing's going to happen to us that he doesn't allow. It says in Isaiah 43, "When you walk through the water, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you." Even though It doesn't say if, it says when. But even though we walk through the water, we walk through the fire, he's with us. I'd rather walk through the water and the fire with Jesus with me than do anything without him. Jesus sent the multitudes away, and he went up onto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He spent a lot of time in prayer. He'd like to get away from the people and just focus on his Father. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. It was probably about 3.5 miles. I think it's 7 miles across. I read that somewhere. So they were halfway across, and it was probably about 3.5 miles. It says in the fourth watch of the night. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit. The ship was in the midst of the sea. In Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says that he saw them toiling in rowing. He saw what they were going through. No matter what we're going through, he sees us, doesn't he? Because his eye is always on his people. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was something. They didn't know what it was. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Literally, he didn't say, "It is I." He said, "I am." He said, "I am. Don't be afraid." What's he saying? He's saying that he is God. And if he's God, and if he's controlling our life, and he's in our life and guiding us and directing us, then why should we be afraid? We shouldn't be afraid of what the weather can do to us. We shouldn't be afraid. As long as we're in his will, we shouldn't be afraid. Peter. I like Peter. He reminds me of somebody. I don't have to tell you who that is, do I? Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." How many times have you heard about somebody saying, "Lord, if you're real, help me. If you're real, Lord, show me who you are. Help me. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. There's only two people I know of that walked on the water, Jesus and Peter. But he took his eyes off the Lord. He saw the wind being boisterous, and he was afraid, and he's beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Where's your faith, Peter? You had the faith when you stepped out of the boat. Don't you think that I'm going to keep anything from happening to you? You know, a lot of people give Peter a bad time. And I think I've mentioned this before, but, you know, he took his eyes off the Lord. We're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord, and he looked to his problems. He looked to his circumstances. And what happened? He started to sink. But before we give Peter too bad of a time about what he did, we need to remember that he stepped out of the boat. Nobody else did. And that's what's important, stepping out of the boat, keeping our eyes on Jesus. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, the one I think probably is the most personal to me, is in Psalms chapter 18. It's verses 16 through 19. It's also in 2 Samuel 22, and it's verses 17 through 20. I sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my comfort. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. When I was a small child, we used to go swimming. I was in New Brunswick, Canada. That's where I was born. And we used to go swimming in a river that was between our little town and the main city of St. Stephen, New Brunswick. And it was Second Bridge was the name of the place where we went swimming. And as I said, I was probably maybe 4, maybe 5 years old. And I couldn't swim. So I was wading out into the water, and I fell into a drop-off, where all of a sudden I'm underwater completely, and I'm thinking I'm going to drown. And I'm yelling for help. And it sounded exactly like you think it would, underwater, you know, with the bubbles. And all of a sudden, my feet were on solid ground. I didn't think too much of it at the time. I was busy thinking, well, nobody noticed that I was drowning. And yet, something happened. It was years later when after thinking about it, and after coming to know the Lord, I realized what happened. I was saved out of that water. Years later, I fell into something else that I almost drowned in. It was alcohol. I was living in a motel room in 1987. I'd lost everything. I had nothing. I had no future. Didn't know what I was going to do. And I was drinking a quart of tequila every night. And that's not counting what I drank during the day. Landlord and landlady at the motel I was staying at gave me a poster. And I put it on the wall, and I looked at it from time to time. It showed a couple little bears on it. And it said, "Help me remember, Lord, that nothing's going to happen today that you and I can't handle together." And I looked at it from time to time, and then I looked at it, and I thought, yes, that's true. Jesus talked about faith as the mustard seed, tiny, tiny little seed of faith, but the smallest thing there is. And I think that's what I had. That was just a little tiny seed, a mustard seed of faith. But from that point on, God started working in my life. He took control of my life. He took the desire and the ability to drink away from me completely. I suffered no DTs, I did no side effects. God did that. And he started showing me what he wanted me to do. He put a desire in me to move from Sacramento and move to Oregon, and I did. And every place I went in that little town of Oregon where I ended up in, I was running into his people. I couldn't turn around without running into his people. But he had his hand on me. He was guiding me. He was directing me. He was leading me. It took me a few years before I came back to him completely. I'd received him as my Savior as a child, and I reaffirmed that, rededicated myself about 20 years after that. And I went forward in a church service and did it again. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me out of the troubles that I experienced, the life that I had. I wasn't exactly walking on water, but I was sinking. You know, we can look back, and I'm sure everyone in here can look to that one point where they realized that the Lord was the Lord, where He was telling you who He was, telling you not to be afraid, and letting you know that He's going to take care of you. Faithful Lord. He died on the cross for me. He delivered me from my strong enemy. The last part of that passage in Psalms says He delivered me because He delighted in me. And I know that God loves me. That's what He does, right? That's His job. He loves us. But reading that and thinking about it, I realized something else. He didn't just love me. He doesn't just love me. He likes me. And that had an incredible effect on me. Rita, he loves what you're going to be. And He sees that when He looks at you. Every once in a while, He corrects us and says, yeah, you got to do something about this. But that's okay. If He didn't care about you, He wouldn't do it, would He? He loves us. But He also likes us. He wants to have a relationship with each one of us. Praise God. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for all You do in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for all You've done in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for Your healing power, Your saving power, and Your grace, which You extend to us, Lord. Unworthy, without merit, for any of Your mercy or any of Your grace, Lord. But You reached out Your hand to us when we were sinking in that water. And You calmed our storm. And You delivered us and will deliver us safely to the other side. Lord, help us to walk with You. Help us, Lord, to maintain our relationship, to not wander off. Help us, Lord, to be what You want us to be. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your message. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. And Lord, I ask that You'd go with each one of us. Guide us and direct us today, Lord, and bring us back safely when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes.